I want to record an intro to the San Carlos Computer Club. How are you doing this morning, baby?
I'm doing.
So now we know. Pressing stop.
Well, this is a Monday morning on our way to school. Excited going back to school. This week is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Oh, look, black butterfly. Oh, there you go.
Like, a nice quick second on the flowers, chucked it all out and left. Doesn't look bad.
We're having to do this intro right now because we waited till the very last minute. Have you seen that? That they call it something complete.
No.
And when you start typing in your email, it uses this weird algorithm that looks at all the stuff that you've ever typed in email. It tries to predict what's the next thing that you're going to say.
Oh, yeah.
And
that happens on, like, Google apps, too, like slides and stuff. Mostly on docs, and it's funny because sometimes it's correct and I'm like, Akinator.
Sometimes it's scary how correct it is. Like I've had times in email where it's like four words correct. Like they might as well put the period at the end at that point. At first, when it was doing predictive text, predicting the word you're trying to type was pretty cool. But finishing my sentence, like my wife, that's nuts.
Like my wife.
So this is Scott Stimson, your host.
This is Donna.
Coming at you right before the next Tuesday meeting, giving you the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club. Please join us tomorrow at 10. Until then, tech on.
Oh my God.
What'd you say?
I want to do it. Bye.
Testing. Is that still wonky?
No.
That's better, but you're moving like a robot. Stopgap motion.
Well, that shouldn't have anything to do with audio. That sounds like a different problem.
Well, we're here to solve problems, right?
All right. Well, you guys are all coming in clear. Clear as a bell, actually. I'm having no problems with you guys. Okay, Dave is the first person this morning that's needed authorization besides myself to get into the meeting.
You're talking about the use of the word wonky. My friend did a eulogy for his mom's funeral last week, and he had found her yearbook from when she went to college way back in the 50s. And in it, it said that her favorite expression was holy toot. And he said, I never heard my mother say holy toot once in her whole life, but I'm going to use it from now on. So we're all holy tooting all over the place. Holy toot, you're wonky this morning, Scott.
Yes. Wonky, wonky, wonky. I wonder the
etymology
of that.
Well, I use the expression, I'll be dipped a lot. I say, well, I'll be dipped a lot. And Peggy and Kathy asked what that meant. I said, oh, I don't know, but I do know what it means. It's short for, I'll be dipped in shit and rolled in nuts.
Euphemisms.
I told her it was to be dipped like in sheep dip for kids.
I was just looking up wonky.
It's wonky.
Wonky. Can you hear that? Wonky. Wonky. Oh, maybe you can't. Shaky or unsteady. Out of alignment or crooked. Not functioning properly or normally. Mentally unbalanced or crazy.
That's pretty much you.
Yeah, I found my word. Oh, this doesn't
maybe
have the history.
Spanish,
I thought it was
going to
have the history. Local.
I think it's a pretty good word.
Yeah.
You have to look it up in Wikipedia for the history.
It first occurred two times in books in 1697 and 2,324 times in 2008. Between 1697 and 2008, the word wonky was used a total of 18,965 times in books scanned by Google. That was back when Google was trying to scan the entire library.
I'll be dipped.
I'll be dipped. We could spend the whole time.
How do you spell
hey,
that, Paul?
We're supposed to be live right now. Let me hit the live button here. Oops.
W-O-N-K-Y.
No, dipped in.
Oh.
I'll be dipped. Dipped. D-I-P-P-E-D.
Oh, D-I-P-P-E-D. Dipped. I got it.
Dipped. Well, how's everybody doing this morning? It's 10 o'clock. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson.
Well, I feel like I've been
woke up after 9 today. I had to hurry.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't want to be
You're
late
running
for class.
Behind schedule this morning? Well, we're here again.
We made a
on Tuesday.
Trip into town this morning
ahead,
to
Cheryl.
Deal with a couple of us. We're totally nesting.
Is everybody's plan still to come back to San Carlos this winter? We are talking on top of each other. I'm so sorry.
My answer is yes, but
I will not.
Chester, I
says
wasn't.
Yes,
so you're
depends
going
on the color of Sonora.
The color of Sonora. What color would stop you? Because
green.
Right now,
all
the way down to us is red.
Is it red now?
Unless something
it's
changed
orange.
Recently.
It's orange all the way down to us, and then we are red.
Oh, I
that's
guess
what
you're right.
It was yesterday.
There's like one
I guess
spot.
If you leave red to go to orange, it's all right.
Yeah, I guess.
The map I was looking at said that Puerto Penasco was yellow and that most of Sonora was orange, but red for Guaymas and Palme and one other place.
Right.
Well, we stay pretty much in our house here in San Pedro. I guess if we stayed in our house in San Carlos, it'd be just as good. Except I'd go out birding because the birds don't have it.
It's not the bird flu.
No.
Hey, Linda.
Well, hey, Linda's with us. Good morning.
You're muted.
We're just getting started. I was just about to ask if anybody has any topics. I know that there's topics that have been added just at the last minute. And I've had some topics on this document. First of all, before we really get started, everybody has the second meet code? And if not, I'll stick it in the chat room. I've been putting the meet code in the document and trying to include it in the email. I might forget, but I mean to. And then does everybody have the document code or document link? If anybody's interested in adding a topic, they could open up the document and add it to the bottom of the document. As I look through this document, I see that Cheryl's got a PayPal with Canada, and I was just curious if anybody had followed up on Exum for making payments internationally using PayPal. So why don't we combine those two schools of thought?
When I looked up that Exum, there was a lot of others that were less expensive for Canada and other places, but that's all I did.
Exum could be...
Since I'm not doing those kinds of things, it was.
So Exum could be a more expensive alternative. Cheryl's altering the document as we speak.
And making a mess of it.
I had stuck that link in the bottom there.
Oh, had you?
Yeah.
I missed it.
Well, that's okay. Let's...
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Also, the link is not in the in-call message.
Which link?
To the next meeting.
Oh, well, let's do that since most of us are here.
You may be putting it in the document, but.
Yeah, we'll keep it. I'll keep making sure the document has it so that's easily available, but we'll stick it in the session here. Come on.
So,
are
Judy,
you having internet issue?
Scott's having a little bit of. Scott's kind of delayed and then he keeps talking over us. But, anyways.
Internet is wonky.
It's wonky, yes.
It's wonky.
Oh, okay.
Judy, you said you found some alternatives to money transfers that Canadian.
Right. I just typed in Exum and it came up with some other options.
Okay,
I have one called U-Link.
That could have been one of them.
Yeah. And I think it's at Banorte is where you get the money.
But she's trying to do Canadian to
US.
Other places, not to Mexico per se.
Well, U-Link, I think U-Link works everywhere. I'm going to look it up.
Y-O-U-Link?
No, U. Letter U-Link. Let me see. U-Link, money transfer. Yeah. U-Link.com.
Software for unions. I see something for University Link. I don't see anything about money transfer.
Another one is XE.com.
Yes, I use that too.
XE?
Oh, when I did U-Link money transfer, it came up worldremit.com.
No, U-Link remit.com.
Yeah,
remit. Put it on here.
Yeah, send money to friends and family fast, easy. Oh.
Yeah.
So is that cheaper than PayPal?
Let's see what it says.
it came up with an exchange rate thing. So I put it to Canada and it said, you send 100 Canada, and it came out to be 3,884, but it's the Philippines. So I'll have to try and change it to.
Ulink was the name of the other one?
Yes, Ulink. Small U, capital L-I-N-K.
The other
Ulink
one, X-E.
Remit.com.
Ulinkremit.com. I found it. X-E. Send money abroad with Ulink. And X-E.com?
Yeah.
And this is cheaper than just going PayPal to PayPal? Did I lose everybody?
No. Well, two things are happening. Dave's trying to tell you the other one, which is XP something. And X-E. I'm looking at the one you're looking at the I'm looking at World Remit is what comes up instead of U Remit.
And
it's ulinkremit.com here.
Yeah, I put it in the I just added it.
Yeah, Linda just added it.
I got it.
It
right up here on my phone.
Here,
International
I'll add
money.
It as a link. This is what I'm looking at right now.
It's not a link. Oh, ulinkremit.
This is the page. If you're looking at my screen, the that's what it should look like. It's got kind of an arrow curving off to the right.
Yeah, can you also send money with Venmo from Canada?
No, you cannot. Venmo is not available to us.
Oh, okay.
Neither, or in Mexico. Mexico doesn't have Venmo either.
Anyway, the people with their TVs that I have TV subscriptions in Toronto, they just send me the money on PayPal.
And how much money are they paying?
Well, my subscription's $65 a year.
No, I mean how much fees are they paying? PayPal charges a stupid exchange rate. Like they offer you something that you could get way better exchange rate other places. Plus, they add on so many fees for Canadian to U.S.
Oh, I have no idea. I just know they pay me on PayPal.
Yeah.
I just put a link in our chat to look at alternatives to Zoom Xzoom or what do you call it?
Okay.
Sites like Zoom.
Awesome.
So, hey, Linda, do you have people gift it to you to use the friends and family? Because it seems like you're the one that's paying those fees.
Friends and family?
Yeah, when you use PayPal to PayPal friends and family, there's no charge. But it seems like you, as recipient, I think you're paying PayPal fees, or at least that's the way it's worked for us in the past as a bed and breakfast, is that we pay the fees as the recipient.
I don't pay any fees when they send me the money.
So they're probably sending it to you using that friend stipulation, like giving money.
Right.
Oh, this is a good list, Judy.
Well, even when I was trying to, when the musicians were doing their fundraising and the Castaway Kids or anything like that, if I used PayPal, it charged me a fee. And, sometimes it was only like $1.25, but sometimes it was $18.95, which makes it a little more expensive to send money. So I was looking for an alternative to PayPal, and PayPal showed me that Xoom. And it didn't go to their email or anything. I had to get their banking information and transfer directly to a bank's. Or I could have them pick it up as cash at so many designated places. But the fee for it was quite a bit, too.
So are you saying that this Xoom from PayPal is doing like bank routing, like check account to PayPal?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And internationally at that matter. Okay.
It didn't seem like it went to PayPal. It went from my bank to their bank. But I don't know why I couldn't just, because it can't do a Canadian bank to a U.S. bank all the time. But Zoom allowed me to do that.
So you don't think this was using PayPal as an intermediate for the mediary for that?
Well, it's a subsidiary, it's a part of PayPal.
Right. That's why I thought that maybe that was their whole hook, was being able to make this transfer from your bank to their bank using their service. Your bank would pay into PayPal, and then PayPal would pay out to their bank.
Well, maybe, but I know it didn't go through our PayPal accounts.
Oh, okay. So Xoom isn't associated with your PayPal account?
Not really. No, nothing would show up under my, my credits in my PayPal account. It wasn't like it went into it and went out of it. It was beside
did they did they even authorize their services with your PayPal account?
No,
it was just do you have an ex-Zoom account now?
Yeah.
Is it an ex-Zoom account that you have to use this?
No, I think I still used my PayPal account. Yeah. And nothing showed up in the balance on the PayPal account end. Yeah.
Right. And it could be a completely different service just owned by PayPal, kind of like Facebook and Instagram. You can still use the same username and password, but you're doing vastly different things.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like that one that Judy sent. So I can, why pick this?
Yeah, there's a good selection of places that offer you kind of the same kind of thing. But you're doing it wrong. You know, you're supposed to do it in Bitcoin.
Oh, my gosh.
Way you avoid all the fees.
I have to use Bitcoin for paying for my TV subscriptions.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. So I got a guy that I can pay with PayPal now, and I'm really happy. Because people go, they've got a Bitcoin ATM machines in different places.
Right. I haven't run across the Bitcoin ATM yet. And it makes it really ATM difficult
to get my subscriptions, huh?
I'm too old to learn a new currency. I believe that I have finally reached a point where I cannot, will not learn a different currency. I'm sticking with money.
Well, this isn't in the lineup, but have you guys been following that El Salvador is supposed to bring Bitcoin online as their national currency?
Oh, well, El Salvador.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I haven't run across an ATM for Bitcoin yet. I know they exist, but I haven't seen one yet. I only brought it up for those of you out there playing Computer Club Bingo. We said Bitcoin. Well, cool. Linda was talking about TVs. It made me think of one of these articles that we've got. What's going on, Judy? I'll answer a question. I'm happy to answer questions for anybody.
There's a Bitcoin ATM near Tubac.
Oh, really?
And yes, hold on. I just lost my map. There's a map of Bitcoin locations, and there's quite a few in Tucson, Sierra Vista, Douglas.
Well, to be fair, I haven't gone out looking for them. I just haven't seen one. That's actually pretty cool. Does that mean that you could actually, is that a way to get money back and forth between your wallet?
Yes.
So you can go
there's one over on Benson Highway. There's an ATM on Benson Highway.
Yeah. So you can go over to an ATM and you can stick cash into that ATM and have it pop out in your Bitcoin wallet. Seems like OXXO was doing something like that before.
I think you have to use your ATM card. Hey, there's one in Culiacan, so why don't you go down and check it out?
Road trip.
Okay, so you were talking about the Bitcoin. See, I started to use Bitso when they first switched over to the Bitcoin for the TV subscriptions. I was using Bitso at the OXXO, but then I used it, and then they wanted me to give them my social security and all this information, and I wouldn't do it. So I started looking around, and then I texted the guys at the TV subscriptions, and I started using another one that I have, and then I got the PayPal Bitcoin, and it's been a lot better for me. There are others.
Yeah, when I try to click on the one that's just down the street from me, it's called Cloud, but it's showing disabled.
Well, there's Coinbase, and there's several different ones for Bitcoin, paying with Bitcoin. But I haven't tried the ATM yet.
Hey, Mom's with us.
Oh, good
morning.
Hey, where'd Judy go?
I'm here.
Oh, Judy, are you coming here on your way?
Maybe. I'm thinking about it.
Well, I'm hoping you are.
I know. I just was contacting Becky to see if she's going to be around. So I don't know yet when I'm leaving here. But
well, she's not coming till like the 13th. She'll be back here.
And I'm right now scheduled to leave here on the 14th of October.
Okay, well, she's coming back. Right now, Barb and Joe are staying in her house.
I heard that.
Yeah, but they're closing.
heard today.
You're a realtor now.
I'm a realtor now, right? No, right? a decorator designer.
Oh, good.
Okay, guys, I'm going to interrupt you with a computer topic.
I'm doing Sherry Christmas house now.
I'm putting a link into our chat. It's actually a PR from Samsung's website, but I thought you'd find this fascinating. Apparently, somebody or criminals had stole a gross of televisions from a South African warehouse, and Samsung has released software to disable the TVs. So the TVs to function need to make a connection to the internet. When they do, they'll be turned off. I don't know. Not much of a conversation starter. Know, okay.
There's a.
I just think it's a fascinating that something as ambiguous as a TV set could be turned off by a software button so easily that it makes. I mean, like the iPhones have been doing this now for a while. There isn't a lot of incentive in stealing an iPhone because each one of the parts is identified, and there's no way to disable if it's been reported stolen. So you might be able to use it as a tablet. You'll never be able to use it as a phone again because they won't allow it on the network because it's recorded. It's reported as a stolen phone. And so now we hear Samsung TVs basically doing the same thing based on serial number.
So I got a question, Chester. How secure is your pacemaker they make these days?
What?
Well, I don't have a pacemaker, but I have a monitor that was inserted into my chest. It's not a pacemaker. It's just a transmitter. And I go into Mayo once a month, and they take a read from the transmitter. But it's not a pacemaker.
Is this one of Billy Gates' nanotechnology things?
I don't think so.
You better be careful, Chester.
Chester, are you, I'm just curious. Hey, Chester, do you have a subscription service with that?
Say again.
Go ahead, Linda.
Is it a defib monitor?
Yes, it's a defib monitor.
Yeah.
I was just going to suggest that maybe you've purchased it under a subscription model, and you'll want to make sure those payments stay up.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, the snap of a button, he pissed somebody off in Samsung and turn them off.
You know,
and what I was thinking had to do with...
Go ahead, Cheryl. I'm sorry if I cut you off.
Okay. Opened your other link, which was the funny things that you can say to Alexa or make her do, which is hilarious. Anyway, so I'm giggling about that. You put up the one about the Samsung TVs and how they can, you know, shut down. We've had a problem with ordering. Maybe it's a good thing we didn't get those tires, Bill. Maybe they would have blown up as soon as we hit the border or something. You know? So,
oh, tell us that story. I haven't read any article, but you were talking about the tires. You put a mention in our group in the document about that. What do you mean they blow up?
We tried to order them. We had to order them on Labor Day. So we go in to order the ones that we had chosen at Costco that we wanted, and they were the kind that were supposed to be on sale. But lo and behold, they don't have any in stock. So this big announcement that you can get them on sale, no, you can't. And you can't order them and then have them come in whenever and have the sale price. So it was really getting messed up. In the meantime, both Bill's account and my account got locked. We could not open anything. It says on our credit card that we bought four tires, but we have no confirmation of what we bought, what style, what brand, you know, because the one we wanted wasn't available.
And we have no tires.
So we went in today and... It was crazy there at Costco because they were all closed on Monday. So today's the first day they're open. And we finally got our accounts set up, but I'm going to have to make phone calls and find out if we really did order anything or if we didn't. So this whole thing where big advertisement, buy it on sale, wait for Amazon Day, wait for the special day, and then they don't have anything in stock that you want. So
it's a bit of a bait and a switch on Costco's website.
Kind of, yes.
I'm sure in the fine print it says based on availability.
How the hell where would we find the fine print? We don't have anything that they sent us.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. We don't have anything. It's crazy.
Anyway.
So
what, did you say you were charged with something, though? You'd been charged for four tires? You saw that on the credit card?
The credit card has a pending transaction of $900 and some, but I don't have any details, and I don't know if it's going to be processed today or if it's just going to fall off, or if, you know, once they fix it, the tires will come, whatever they look like.
So, no, you didn't get a confirmation number. So that pending transaction is going to hopefully drop off. That's what they always tell me.
Yeah, hopefully fall.
Not Costco, but every place that you buy something and it's pending, but you didn't really buy it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm supposed to make phone calls, but, you know, that'll be another hour later.
But that's today.
Okay, Scott, I got a little technical problem or
sure.
question.
I'm here to answer questions. What do you got, Bill?
Okay, Scott. First off, I'll describe my problem. I'm at Windows 10. I started up my computer the other morning, and kind of all of the words were missing. All the icons and buttons on everything were there, but the words are missing. Just buttons. I opened up a File Explorer tab, and same thing. There's absolutely no letters in the areas. So I think I finally, it's a little difficult trying to download and reload something like Glary if you don't have access to the labels, even if that buttons are there.
Did you immediately restart the computer? Because that's what I would suggest, is immediately restart it.
So this gets down to my actual question.
Okay.
I got to the button. Because
if the first question is, should I go on with my computer behaving like this? The answer is no.
Well, I think I have enough depth of knowledge to answer that one myself.
Okay. But, all right.
So I went down to the little start button and opened it up, power, and I hit restart. Okay.
Okay.
And it goes through, it grinds through and comes back. Same thing. Nope. No change. And I fooled around with it.
It went through the restart and came back, and you had the same problem with your fonts, with
same
your
problem.
Words.
Yes.
In the start menu, did you see words?
The labels are missing.
Yeah.
Even on the desktop, the icons were there, but the labels were gone. I have no idea what the hell that was all about.
Huh. Yeah, I haven't heard of that. I've heard of all the icons being gone, but not just the text. Go on, keep telling your story.
The labels on the desktop, the labels were there until I ran a mouse over them, and then they disappeared. Each time I touched a label, it disappeared.
Did you go to the task manager and try to clear those?
That's starting to sound like a video driver thing.
Moving on. Could be. Anyway, so I did finally succeed in getting Glary to reload. Like I
your Glary
reloaded
cleanup.
It onto the computer. So I thought maybe that would help out. And then, what do you call it? Yeah, Glary. Anyway, same thing. I got it down, I have the icon or the little button click that says restart. Goes through it, restart, same thing. Wait a minute. Is there a difference between actual power down, power off, and hit the start button again once a computer drops?
Yes, absolutely. And it's different with Windows 10 than it has been in the past.
A difference.
If you do, before Windows 10, if you did a power off.
Anyway, that solved my problem. I powered it right off and started it right up.
Well, that's a good solution. I recommend trying both, because since Windows 10, they've reversed that kind of thinking. And so before Windows 10, if you were to restart the computer, there was a chance something was going to be left in memory. And that it's called a warm boot, where you're already running and you're just restarting. It's a warm restart.
Right.
And so you could leave a problem that couldn't be solved unless you did a complete power off and a cold start. Since Windows 10, the power off is a soft off, and it's what happens with a lot of the equipment, the laptops and tablets. This wouldn't be so much with the desktop computers that are homemade, but even desktop computers from a manufacturer like HP, if you do the power off, it's actually a soft off, where it's almost in a standby mode. And so you go to turn it back on, you really haven't changed anything about the profile of the computer by turning it off using the off button. And then if you do the restart, it does this flush of the caches. So it like sets the caches to zero as it's coming back up. And so if you want to see changes or something take effect, then since Windows 10, you would do a restart. And then you've got this really gray area of equipment, like this equipment that maybe it didn't come with Windows 10, or it came right as Windows 10 was first being released. And you may have to do all three of those things to see a change. You may have to do a soft off, you may have to do a restart, or you may have to do a hard off where you shut it down and you've lost power to it, maybe holding a power button until it turns itself off to get a reaction out of the equipment. I'm sorry, excuse me for a moment.
And that's exactly...
What about unplugging it and removing the battery and putting it back in?
My daughter's in there doing school, and she's doing it so quiet and diligently.
How about if I just drill a hole through the hard drive?
Yeah, that's a good way to make sure it has a consistent behavior every time you turn it up, turn it on.
Yeah. Anyway, so it solved the problem. I shut it off with the software and then started it up with the button, and it has solved the problem. And I just suspected that there had to be a difference there because I got a different reaction when I did that. So there, bit of information for you. You already knew, maybe somebody else didn't.
Well, it's that classic IT line is turn it off, wait 10 seconds, turn it back on.
Yeah.
I thought maybe.
It's just off is a little bit more complicated with Windows 10 now.
The task manager, and some stuff could be open that was conflicting.
I learned something new yesterday.
Well, go ahead, Chester.
It may be something that everybody else knew, but I was watching a YouTube program, and I caught it on pause, and I wanted a picture. I didn't want to print a picture. I wanted to save a picture, and I didn't know how to do it, but I got online and figured it out. And you use your print screen, but before you use it, you press your Microsoft key and then use print screen, and it'll come up as a PNG in your pictures file. And
wow,
then you can
Chester,
put it
that's awesome. I did not know that. Chester, that's the tip of the day.
I'm glad I told you. It turns out to be a PNG file, and then you put it in any number of programs and make a PGG file out of it. It has a lot of pixels, so it's a good picture.
I'm trying to get into
it. I have a question. Can you use it on Android?
Well, on Android, you do the Android screenshot, right?
Yeah, or your tablet.
Well, I don't know. I used it on Windows.
Okay.
Yeah, this is great because, you know, print screen, if you hit print screen, the print screen button, which is an archaic button that's been around since long before we had graphical screens, but the print screen button in Windows will take a picture of what's on your screen and put it in the copy buffer. And so if you've got a program standing by, like a Word document or a Photoshop, then you can take that print screen you just did and you can paste it into that program. And so it's useful, but it's not that convenient. What you want is the convenience Chester just described, where you hold down the Windows key and hit print screen, and it creates a brand new file of the screen. I'll give you, there's one other.
Creates
a picture file. That's right. The Macintosh has done this forever. This ability to snap, make clips of your desktop and have the pictures line up as files on the desktop. But I'm not finding the picture I should have just created. Damn it. It looks like it worked. Print screen. It does this little thing.
Don't forget that Alt print screen, Control print screen also work similar but slightly different as to what area of the screen they copy.
Thank you, Dave.
I understand there are ways you can trim, but I just do the whole screen, and then I put it in Photoshop and did what I wanted to do.
So, Chester, when you hit the Windows button and the print screen, where did it create it? Like, it created a picture file, but where did it?
In your picture file, in your picture folder.
Yeah, I can't find it. Okay. I mean,
if you have a folder on Windows multiple pictures.
Right.
And it'll put it in there under it'll create a folder called print screen and it'll put it in there.
Screen. Okay. So,
and then you can.
So it creates its own folder called print screen that I would find under File Explorer under pictures.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay.
I'm looking for it right now because that's the question I'm trying to answer for myself too is where did it go? Because the function, I just did it. It looks like it works, but I can't seem to find what it created.
Well, you know when it works, your screen will momentarily go blank, and then your picture will show back up. Momentarily.
That's the experience.
Picture.
Yeah, that's the experience I had. Kind of like a shutter. You hold down the Windows button, and you press the print screen button, and the whole screen dims for a moment, and it's like, oh wow, that was so easy. That was such an easy thing to do. But unfortunately, right at this moment, I'm not finding where that picture is going. And part of the problem might be because I have thousands of pictures in my pictures folder and it's trying to organize them by date, but all it's finding is last month's pictures.
There's pictures. I move all of my pictures out of my pictures folder into albums folder and pictures that I don't,
and I think it's hurting my ability to find this. Oh, maybe if I go to quick access, let's see if it put it in the history. There it is. There, you know what it is, Chester's. I've got so many full of photos in my pictures folder that every time Windows Explorer goes to it, it wants to regenerate an index for it. And it's taking forever for me to get these pictures, these new screenshots. But you're right. What it does is it creates a folder called screenshots. Under the pictures folder, a folder called screenshots, and then each picture is screenshot one, screenshot two, screenshot three. And I was able to see it immediately under quick access in Windows 10. On the bar in the Finder to the left at the top, there is something that says quick access, and that is a recent history of files you've used. And those screenshots showed up right at the top of that list. So that is awesome. That's a very powerful tip. Thank you, Chester.
My pleasure. I was glad to learn it. I just figured everybody knew it except me.
I was going to say, Cheryl, I've been using ScreenSnip for doing this kind of stuff. And if you were to click on the Windows button and start typing ScreenSnip or the word snip, it would find it.
Go to the PNG file that you have, you'll see the number of pixels. It's very, very large file. You can do a lot with it. Sandy may find that useful in dealing with Photoshop.
Well, in the Macintosh, it's a different combination of keys, but it's the same idea. I think it's Command-4. The Macintosh command key 4 allows you to take a picture of your screen and it drops it on your desktop right next to your hard drive. I think it's Command-4.
Oh, I found one called Snip and Sketch. Is that what you were talking about, Scott?
On Windows 10? No, I confused the the naming. 10. If you go to the notifications section, this is frustrating, I realize, because I actually set it up for it not to be frustrating for me. But if you click in the lower right-hand corner of Windows 10 in the notifications section, it has that section of buttons at the bottom. It might say Do Not Disturb, or it might say Bluetooth. I've got this. I have it all out of – what's the default look like? Because I configured it myself years ago. It might show network. It might show all settings. It might show airplane mode. But there's also a link there that says expand. And if you click expand, you'll see all the buttons in Windows 10 in that notification section. Let me switch over to my monitor here. If you look at my screen, go on to the – here's the notifications, and there's these buttons at the bottom of the notification bar. You see them? And one of them is Screen Snip.
Notifications. Where the heck is that?
Let me close this window because it's a little busy.
Bottom
right hand corner. This is where Windows 10 tells you you've got email or you've downloaded a file or things like that. And at the bottom of it is this matrix of buttons. And truthfully, the default buttons, I've never found them useful. So a long time ago, I set up the collapsed buttons to reflect only these four buttons, and these are all I use. And so I made this screen snip button very easy for me to access. But then I go to another computer, I turn around over here, I didn't bother to do it on the Lenovo over here. And so then I have to go searching for this feature that I use all the time. But the screen snip, what that does is it dims the screen. It should dim it in a second. And then I'm able to draw around the area that I want to snip. Oh, it's not broadcasting it, is it? Can you see that?
Yeah, okay. I can see.
And so then when I've done that, it shows up. It's in the copy buffer. I can paste it into something. Like I could paste it into Photoshop or I could take what I just copied. I imagine, can I paste it into our chat? Maybe I can. Oh, I don't know if I can do pictures in chat. Let's just see what happens. No, well, let me paste it into chat. But I can paste it into a Word document. And in notifications, it's sitting there in Snip and Sketch, the app that you found. And so if I click on that, it'll open up this app, Snip and Sketch. And that's what I copied. And now I can mark it up. I can write stuff on it. And up here in the upper right-hand corner, I could save it as a picture, or I could just copy it with the modifications that I've done to it, put some highlighter on it or something. I'm just...
Cool.
Yeah, I could copy it, and then I could take that, and I could paste that somewhere else, or I could choose to save that as a file to be used somewhere else. Where I'm sorry, my screen kept slipping over there, but if you got I hope you got the gist of it.
I did, and I opened up my notifications, and I see screen snip in there, and I found a few things I can play around with. And Chester, your tip about the pictures, and that I found things in my pictures folder that I had no idea that's where they'd gone. So I, you guys have created a lot of things that I'm going to have to spend time doing, but I think I thank you.
Oh, I really thank you, Chester, because what you've discovered is exactly what I've needed so many times in the past and didn't realize that Windows had done it. It's one of the things about Windows is that there are just so many things in there that you can't possibly know all these different abilities. That was a great
tip. I have a recommendation for you that in your pictures folder, you set up another folder and move all your photos into that folder rather than having them right there staring you in the face.
Well, it's a good suggestion. You know what happened a while back, and I've never cleaned up behind it, is that the Microsoft Photos program, I've been using it to synchronize my phone whenever I connect the phone with a cable. I connect the phone with the cable to the computer, and Microsoft Photo comes up and it takes all the new photos and adds it to the library. So something happened with Windows 10 Microsoft Photo a couple of iterations back where it changed from putting the photos in specifically designated folders, and I had it configured to put it in folders by month, to just dumping them right into the main default directory. And that is a change, and they're not going backwards, and I have no control over it anymore. So what I've learned is what I can do is I can take all those photos and I can manually move them in, like you're suggesting, move them into my own folders. And when I go back into Microsoft Photos, Microsoft Photos will rebuild that structure. So the thumbnails come up and I can see each one of the folders. I guess what I'm saying is it'll re-find those pictures. But what it won't do is put them right where I want them at the get-go.
Well, over the years, I've taken my photos and put them in folders by years and by months. And if in 1 year I don't have a lot of photos, I just leave them in the year folder. But I found that very helpful for me over the years.
Yeah, I agree with you. And what's frustrating is I had an automatic system that was doing it, and then Microsoft just changed it. And it's just, this is not the way they're doing it anymore.
Apple does that automatically.
Yes. Yes,
Apple I have a problem with my photos in that when I go to change the name of the photo, it only gives me about 8 or 9 seconds to do it, and then it reverts back. So if I'm going to put down the date and location and the subject in the file name for the photo, I have to do it in sections. I have to change the date and then save, and then add the location and save, then add the subject and save. So
that doesn't sound right, Paul. This is on your computer? When you're changing the name of any file or from the Microsoft Photos program?
The photo files is what I do. But so I looked for any kind of controller on the length of time to do something, you know, all the management of photos, and I couldn't find anything to change it.
Yeah, what program are you using that's doing that to you?
It's just the Windows.
That's weird.
I bring up a photo and I go to change the name, and it gives me about 10 seconds and it's gone.
Well, what I do is I save the photo in whatever name it wants to save it in. Then I go to that file and I go to change name and change it there with ample time to do whatever you want.
Yeah, well, what I'm doing now is I open a notebook, a sticky note page, and I write out what I want and then I copy and paste. So it's a little annoying, but it works that way.
Sir, are these photos you've downloaded or photos you've taken? Like they're coming out of your phone into your computer?
Out of my camera into the computer.
Out of your camera into the computer. And so you're
download from a chip.
From a chip. Gotcha.
Can I ask a non-relevant question? Have we switched over to the other chat, or are they not telling us that we're running out of time anymore?
So far, it's not telling us we're running out of time. I did start playing with the meeting at about 9:30, so if they were being sticklers, they could have already told us to get out, because I could have used up a half hour meeting before we got going.
Maybe it was temporary.
Maybe. Maybe it's just another change. They keep changing things.
I have another subject. You see, this is a Fitbit, $100 Fitbit that I got for free from Medicare. And so I just got it in the mail, and I downloaded the app for my phone and stuff like that. And I went to the grocery store, and I'm walking along with my hands on the cart, and I think, oh, I'm not registering steps if my arm isn't swinging. So I pushed just with my right arm and stuff like that. And when I got home, I had added 1,600 steps. So I guess it knew, even though I wasn't swinging my arm. And then I was at home, and my dog was on my lap, and I checked the count, and then I petted her for 10 seconds and checked it again. I'd added 20 steps by petting her.
Well, now you know how to do it.
Paul, does that watch also alert if you fall? That's the one I'm
I don't know about that. I haven't seen that.
I believe that's becoming a feature in these devices, but the iPhone, the Apple Watch definitely has that, Chester.
You got this one. You want this one?
That fall alert.
That's what I need to look at. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a very reasonable piece of equipment for its price, and it includes that service with it, too, where it'll contact your next of kin, whoever needs to know in a certain period of time if you don't stop it.
Or it'll switch over and contact 911 if some kin doesn't answer.
That's
right.
If I fall and become
unconscious, when I wake up, it'll say I was sleeping.
Hey, what model Fitbit was it that you got? I'm sorry, Cheryl, just give me a second. What model Fitbit did they give you for free with Medicare?
Well, I don't know. It's this little guy here.
You don't know the model?
Something 2.
Something 2? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Cheryl. Go ahead. Tell us about yours.
The Fitbit. It's a Fitbit brand.
Mine is totally not a Fitbit. It is a knockoff that I think was $20. But anyways, it tells me that I do about 20, 35 steps before I crawl out of bed just by rolling over. So I think the step count is a little bit funny. When you said, Paul, that you got 20 for petting your dog, I can get 25 before I even get out of bed. So there's that. And for some reason, it tells me that I slept for 11 and a half hours yesterday, which is total not true.
Why would you want to know your steps? Oh, okay. Why would you want to know the number of steps you take?
It's relative, right? It's
has a benchmark. An expectation that you set. And if you're sitting in your chair watching TV, it'll say, feed me. In other words, it says, get up and walk.
I've got a Huawei.
Okay, I want to note it.
And it's telling me all the time. I'm sitting here at my desk doing work, and it's amazing how often I have to feed it because I lose track of time, and I'm just sitting there. I'm completely engulfed in work, but my body hasn't moved at all. Got 12
so
steps.
So does it buzz? It buzzes on your arm?
Yeah, it says move.
What you need is a chair that rocks. You need a rocking chair.
A rocking chair, yeah. The Huawei, actually, it has a graphical interface and gives you workouts that you can do. It offers up this thing called re-energize, which is like 5 minutes of calisthenics in place at your desk. But you can choose from, I don't know, 24 different workouts it'll walk you through, and it'll show you on the screen how to do it, how you're supposed to crunch, and so it'll walk you through some repetitions. I know this because I've watched it. It's a watch, so I watch it.
just as a side note, yes. Huawei is the company that Canada has their CEO or one of their head executives under house arrest on request from the United States because they want to try her for something.
Yeah.
And the Chinese government has been holding two Canadian citizens, two men, we just passed the 1,000 day mark the other day for their incarceration. They want the girl for the two guys. Oh, come on.
The Canadians were arrested for being too polite.
Well, we could go over there with our enormous navy and demand them, I suppose. Our one submarine might make it across.
They're
accusing them of espionage and different trade secrets and stuff. They say that they took pictures of officials. Basically, they were tourist pictures, and these people happened to be in the same area. Like, it's really, really,
It's completely made up. It's very obvious that they're not going to let those two kids or two young men go until the Canadians give up the Huawei exec. And
I don't think the exec is being charged by the U.S. with taking photos of tourists.
There's a valid, supposedly a valid charge against her for espionage.
Right. And it's been gone for a long, long time.
Three years? I was going to say, I thought it was three years now.
Is sending me a...
Yeah, it's 1,000 days. So, we just passed the 1,000 day anniversary a week ago or something. So it's almost 3 years.
What was T-Mobile giving you, Paul?
T-Mobile was sending me a free phone, a free Chinese phone.
Yeah.
T-Mobile was giving me a free phone with three lenses for my camera. That's great. And it's got a tremendous storage ability and things like that. And the reason it's free is because we turned in an old phone. It was about 15 years old, 10 years old. And they give us $9 a month rebate and charge us $9 a month for the phone, the new phone.
I thought you were going to say you turned in your Canadian neighbor.
Or your Texas neighbor.
Being a Chinese phone is probably everything you do is recorded in China.
I asked the girl, I said, now is this going to ship all my information to China? And she looked at me strangely. She said, oh, no.
Your
N200. Forget what the...
Your Alexa camera is already doing that. They don't need the watt or the phone to do it.
Paul,
I don't remember the brand of the name of the phone, but if you know of a Chinese phone and say names, I could probably recognize it.
OnePlus 8.
No, it's an N200 is the model.
Oh, Nokia. Okay.
Is that Japanese now or Chinese
it's not
now? N200. Xiaomi or Xiaomi?
Nokia is Japanese, I think, isn't it?
Oh,
well, it was Finnish originally, but is it Chinese now? Because it seems like somebody bought it from Microsoft.
Today.
Nord.
Hey, Scott.
No, not Nord. No, it isn't Nord.
Scott, what happened to the phone you had?
Which one? The Huawei? I still got it.
Well.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if you still had it.
OnePlus Nord N200. It's a OnePlus, I think you've got.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, I have the OnePlus 8. It's fabulous that I got.
OnePluses are supposed
T-Mobile.
To be good phones.
So it's a 5G phone.
6.5-inch screen, Android 11, Snapdragon 480.
And that was free?
Well, it's $9 a month, but I get a rebate of $9 a month for an old phone that I gave them.
That's free.
Yeah, mine was free, too.
I need to talk to Verizon.
Sure, bid them against each other. Well, you could go to T-Mobile and sign up.
Yeah, I understand T-Mobile now is the biggest.
Well, see, if you sign up like here in Arizona for T-Mobile, then you don't have any problem using it down in San Carlos.
I don't have that problem with Verizon either.
T-Mobile's real good in San Carlos.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a lot of T-Mobile customers down here.
I have the same thing with Verizon, but I got to tell you, Verizon is expensive.
You know, I pay $55 a month. That's it, for unlimited.
Our phones are $30 a month because it's ex-military.
Oh, well, that's good for you.
So $90 for the three of them.
Wow,
I pay 399 pesos and can make unlimited calls and texting to the United States and Canada from Mexico or in any of the countries. 399 pesos a month. Even Alaska. I keep the same phone number when I go up to Alaska. The unfortunate thing in Alaska is because of the cell market up there, most people don't have international calling. They don't have a North American plan. Whereas in Arizona, it's very common to have a North American plan. In Alaska, they don't. It's something extra that has to be added on to whatever they're doing. So calling me is a bit inconvenient for people. But I can call, well, I can receive calls, I can, at $3.99 a month.
Our problem is we have a Las Vegas number. There's two problems with it. One is that people are calling long distance to get to it. The other one is when we call them, they think we're timeshare salesmen trying to call them from Vegas.
There are still some phone networks.
a lot of people don't answer the phone. They need to listen to the message.
For years, people would get phone calls from my number, and because of the way they were routed through Telmex to the United States, they would appear as though they were a Philippine number. Right? All they had to do is pick up. They'd find out it was me, but because of the caller ID, they don't want to pick it up. Just like
they want to hear about their Visa account being hacked for the 300th time that week.
That's right. Microsoft is getting messages that your computer has viruses coming out of it.
We get that in our car warranty.
Flooding information.
Saying we've had two mysterious calls on our Visa card, which we don't have.
Yeah, lots of spam out there.
Oh, yes, there is.
I just bought a little cream thing off of the internet, and you know, it was supposedly free, but you paid $6.95 for the freight. Well, they just tried to charge me $80 on my credit card, and Capital One found it and closed my account, and now I just got my new card.
All right. Hey, I just put a link in the chat room.
They're on top of it.
If you've been following this this law in Texas, apparently there's a website out there where you can report your neighbors. You can put together civil suits up to $10,000 to sue Uber drivers and doctors and neighbors bringing people to get an abortion. So what's interesting is there is this developer.
I understand you can even sue the taxi driver for taking the patient.
Yes.
In fact, I don't have that link here, but both Uber and Lyft have said that if this is an issue, they'll pay the legal fees. So they've come out with a public statement.
Yes, I read that as well.
Yeah. So this is a software developer on TikTok that will give you the instructions on how to set up your phone to help flood the website with fictitious reports so that their system has to go through thousands and thousands of bullshit reports to identify a real one. And it's fun. He's got a short little video. He talks about the technology and walks you through how to use it. I don't think any of you need to do it, but I thought you'd appreciate that it was being done. This is activism in 2021. You can add a button to your phone, and when you push it, it'll send out bullshit reports to this website as though you're reporting somebody that's real, but it's not.
I wonder if you could do that the spam. It's some of the spam callers, you know, they'll say, yeah, if you're interested, press one. Well, I'll always press one because I want to eat up their time. That's the one thing we don't have is more time.
More time. What were you going to say, Judy?
I heard that Planned Parenthood up here was taking donations to help people that come up from Texas have hotel rooms to recover in.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
Yeah.
Cheryl, you were going to say something?
I think I forgot what I was going to say.
Mom, you were going to say something?
No, mine was just, you know, a feeling that's sad. It's horrific, actually, that we have a state in our union that is allowed to do that so far. It's just outrageous.
It's a step backwards.
I saw an internet meme the other day that said that law, the Texas law, isn't going to ban abortion. It's just going to ban legal abortion.
Safe abortion is what it's going to ban. Safe abortion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's going to be back alley, knitting needle type abortions.
Yep.
The meme I saw had a metal coat hanger in the shape of Texas.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
I'd like that.
Well, talk about impact. You know, it's a visual impact statement there. But it's a terrible, terrible, like you say, step back. But I also saw one today, and it talked about the words that we use are important. Words matter. And it basically is that it's violence against women, and it is a women's issue. And we always talk about the woman, but we never talk about the men that are involved in this, that it takes males and females, and that we have to change the way we talk about this whole situation, and that, you know, women get raped, but men rape. And we need to focus our words and change it so that we're acknowledging that it is not women that need to be controlled, but, you know, the whole thing.
It's really men that are controlling this.
I was just saying it's men who are controlling this. But women that agree with them.
But this Texas law is penalizing, and it is only the women, you know. Well, I guess the taxi driver, everybody else are getting involved too in the criminal activity. But it's just the whole thing is.
It's dystopian sci-fi fiction. It's from The Handmaid's Tale. It's that slippery slope you never think that we would be going down, and we're going down it for some reason.
Oops, here we go.
We've talked about our province and our political and everything, but we've gone backwards in our COVID so that we are all masked, except that the rules came in on Friday morning that we were all to be masked, and that liquor sales were going to stop at 10 o'clock at night, and that this was coming in effect that day. So there were people that had planned weddings, and they had all of these events and everything all ready to go on the next day. They had bartenders hired, they had different things, and they were told, no, you can't, except for the exceptions that were then made for the rodeo and for the pride parade and the event that was organized. Like, they make rules, and then they put all these little exceptions in. One of the things that they put in place was, if you have not had your vaccination yet, your first vaccination yet, sign up in the next 2 weeks and we'll give you $100, gift card, $100 for anybody that's over the age of 12 that signs up for a vaccine in the next 2 weeks. Another person said, yeah, take the $100 and donate it to the other party. Like, it's just ridiculous the way that some of these laws and rules and things are being made.
Well, back to the abortion. One of the biggest they passed problems the laws of the land, and then they turned around and ignore this problem. And I don't think that that's right. If we pass an abortion law, then leave it as is. It's Roe versus Wade. Rather than letting some state decide what they were going to do. I thought once the Supreme Court made a ruling, it was for the whole country.
I know.
You know, I don't understand it quite, but for some reason, it is not in as a solid law.
Okay, I think all of this and several more cases are all designed to bring...
I've lost my microphone, so I am restarting. I'm rejoining. Sorry to miss this conversation that's going on, but I got to make this thing work again.
Cool. Oh, he's coming back. Oh,
he's coming back.
I hope he's looking this up, because it seems to me like Roe versus Wade is not a law. It was an executive decision that is still trying to become a law. I wish I could remember back to that, but there is something
testing
that
one, two,
tampering with it.
It was a case, and the case was what went to the Supreme Court, and I don't know if that was based on a law or some piece of the law, but in any event, it'll go back before the Supreme Court before it's over with.
I think that they talk about it being precedent for other cases, but they think that these other cases aren't really decided by that, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Hey, can you guys hear me
right,
okay?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Continue, please. I was just having a technical glitch on my end.
Oh, we hoped you were looking it up.
Nope, sorry. I was,
it's,
for some
I'm
reason, my,
I'm hoping to see Linda's legs again.
Yeah. I wondered, like.
Well, I didn't realize
my camera
was
switched to the.
Well, I wasn't going to tell you the difference.
By the way, Scott. Is there something new with especially iPhone selfies, for instance? Like up to a little while ago, when you took a selfie, it was reversed. Like your lettering and everything was backwards. We took a selfie the other day against the sign, and it reads correctly now. And we took a couple more pictures and tried it out, and it does. The camera is now doing the reversal for you, so it shows up true picture, just like you took a regular picture.
I do think that they did something just recently that allow you to choose how it's going to present the selfie,
but it automatically did it.
I think it's an option you can turn on or off now. Let's see if we can find some information. I just have this vague memory of this, because forever they've taken selfies in reverse and then they get re-reversed by whatever service
anyway,
you're putting them on.
Can we do recommendations before we run out?
Yeah, let's do that. Now that we solved all the other world problems.
Exactly.
What do we got for... Before you go on, let me just say that like there's some topics on this list. Fred put some topics on this list. I put some topics on this list. I'm going to just move them over to next week unless they go stale, and then we'll just do new topics. Go ahead, Bill. What's your recommendation?
Okay. Well, Cheryl and I and our oldest grandson went to a movie. We went to a movie theater. And Shang-Chi?
Oh, Marvel superhero.
Shang-Chi?
And the 10,000
Rings.
Ten rings.
There you go.
Sorry.
Anyway, the one thing we did notice is that we were definitely in a visible minority in the theater. It was full of Asian nerds and us. But one nice thing about it, it's a very nice, polite crowd. There's no cell phones ringing, and there's no discussions going on. It was one of the nicest theater experiences we've had. Anyway, the movie's fun. It was okay.
Yeah, you know, that's not the crowd. That's just COVID. All those people they're the only people that have come out for the movie. Anyway, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, you recommended
that's what
last then. This is your fault.
Okay,
you recommended Soldiers or Zombies. You said you and Yuya had been watching it, and you.
And we had so much fun with it.
You said it was a bit weird, So I figured I'll give it a shot. I'm not a zombie movie fan. So I'll give it a shot. I start in on this damn, and it just sucked me into a black hole. I kept saying, why am I watching this? I'll just watch one more. What the hell? Why am I watching this? And the other thing is, the zombies can run faster than the people. That's really different than what I have always expected zombie movies.
Well, your reaction was Yuya's reaction.
Stumble on and pieces fall off.
Your reaction was Yuya's reaction.
What was that?
Why am I watching this? And then let's watch the next one.
But you kind of want to know what's going to happen, I guess. And then there better be a second season, because it definitely stopped in the middle of story. There's, you know, nothing was resolved whatsoever.
I think it's a real niche zombie genre, because half of what I enjoyed about it was being in the Mexican desert and dealing with Mexicans. It's the first time I've seen a story like that.
Well, is it a Mexican series? Like it shows up as Soldado Zombie.
Yeah, I think it's another one of those Netflix collaboration projects where it's been produced on both sides of the border.
And like you said, there's a real mix of Spanish being with English subtitles, and then English with English subtitles. It's quite a effort to keep up to what's going on. But it's fun. It was fun, I guess. I'll go with that.
Back to the Marvel comic one that we saw, Shang-Chi. I was going to just drop Wars off at the opry from that, the massive amount of people in the mall, and the situation that we have with outrageous numbers in Alberta right now. And the other thing was that I thought maybe I would enjoy it, because I've been watching a couple of the Marvel superhero things with the kids. And I love the videography in this, the visual effects. There's this scene where the water is doing a map, and it was just unbelievable. If you just kind of let it absorb you, and you believe the fantasy, and the rings are making all these power, and they're throwing people across the room and all this kind of stuff, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I ended up, you know, laughing and enjoying it. And all superheroes have a little sidekick, right? Like, you know, people liked Batman, but I liked Robin. Well, the guy, Shang-Chi, has Katie. And Katie is absolutely hilarious. I love her. I just wanted to take her home. She's got a really unique voice. Her character is just awesome. So I watch it for the sidekick, not the superhero.
Well, we've been looking forward to seeing it. We haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I can spoil the ending.
No, don't do that.
Well, then
I got a little sidebar. Our grandson was with us for three nights. Our oldest grandson, and he's helping out around lifting. He's the power horse. We FaceTimed my daughter and her daughter. My granddaughter was there on the FaceTime, and Avon comes into the scene, and Avon is her favorite cousin. She's been in love with him since she was born, pretty much. Anyway, she looks at him, and she hasn't seen him for about a year, I think. And she looks at him and she says, "Avon, you got old. Stop getting old, Avon." And poor Avon was just taken aback. He did not know what to say. It's the first time he's ever been accused of growing old.
Well, and then the next time she said something about, "He's got a beard. He's got a little bit of facial hair." You know, like 15 years.
They were both astounded.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Anyway, back to recommendations.
Okay, who else has got something that we can't live without knowing about?
Well, I watched the series Good Girls a while ago, but I just found out that they had another season, and so I was watching it this week. Good Girls is the women that they had no money, and they had men issues and everything, so they end up robbing a bank, robbing a grocery store, and they expect that they're only going to get a little bit of money, but it turned out the grocery store was a counterfeit money handling, laundering thing.
Okay.
Anyway, so they get involved in the counterfeit laundering business, and they end up, you know, doing things in Canada. They must live in the United States, close to the border or something. And the series, it gets kind of silly, and then it gets kind of sad, and you know, all this. But the new one was out this week, so I binge watched another season of the dumb thing.
So. And Paul, you were going to mention something?
Yeah, I watched Do You Want to Be a Cowboy on Netflix. I think it's six episodes in one season. And it was very interesting how they move cattle and stuff like that. But
this is like a reality show?
Yeah. Well, it's supposedly like a an instructional show. And one of the things is you're not a cowboy unless you're in the rodeo also.
Oh.
So there's a lot of rodeo business.
This sounds like a real reality show. It's everybody's expectation.
It's very entertaining, and it's on Netflix.
I'm probably as close to a cowboy as you guys are ever going to meet. And my brothers and I had 400 head of cattle and a 2,000 head of feedlot that we ran for years. So,
how'd you do in the rodeo?
Well, I got more shit in my teeth, son, than you ever had in your boots. How's that?
Well, my daughter is married to a cattle rancher up in northeastern California.
And how many rodeos does he go to?
He doesn't do that.
Yeah, I know. Most of them don't.
No.
Rodeo cowboys.
I've got two recommendations, if I can. Okay, one is a new TV series done on Hulu called Only Murderers in the Building. Oh. It's they're short. They're like 30 minutes long. Only Murderers in the Building. It's Steve Martin and Dana Carvey with Selena Gomez. And they're all podcast enthusiasts for true crime podcast enthusiasts that have discovered a crime happening in their building. And so they make a very odd, I wanted to say pair, a group, a trio, a very odd trio that is informing each other and doing investigations in their New York building. Very funny. And my other recommendation is a movie that you probably know that we just recently rewatched called Silverado. If you haven't seen Silverado, it's a great cowboy movie. Actually, your talk about Do You Want to Be a Cowboy reminded me that we had just finished watching it. Kevin Costner, who else? A bunch of other people. Danny Glover's in it. Some other names are going to come back. But it's a really good, for not being a Wyatt Earp story, like an actual story, it's a real kind of Wyatt Earp kind of story and situation. Great movie. Good action. Good story.
Okay.
Silverado. Scott, yeah.
I got a task for you. When you go watch Shang-Chi, is it? Shang-Chi? Yeah. I can't get it right. Shang-Chi. In the beginning, they're on a bus. It's partway through the movie. They're on a bus and they get attacked. And the bus driver, there's a quick shot of the bus driver. I say it's a Morgan Freeman cameo. I figured, what the hell is he doing in there? It was just like 3 seconds and then he's gone. I want you to check it out because I can't find him in the credits. I look, but
he's uncredited.
I think so. Google searches.
I bet you're not the only one having the same question. I bet there's already Google responses out there.
Well, I googled it. I didn't catch anything on Google yet either. So
okay,
but he's got such a distinctive face. It's to me. I just immediately said, "What the hell's he doing in this movie?" And then he was gone. He never came back. You know, that was it.
But I also wonder, like the kids were telling us that this movie is in theaters for a limited time and that it is not going to be released to Disney Plus. And that's because when they released
Black Widow? Yeah, they got in trouble with Black Widow with what's her name?
Scarlett Johansson?
Yes, Johansson, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what, I didn't know anything about it, but Jeff and Tyler were talking about it yesterday and about that. And to do with the You Want to Be a Cowboy and Silverado, to me, the ultimate cowboy movie you need to watch is City Slickers with Billy Crystal. That's the only cowboy movie that anybody should ever watch.
City Slickers. That's funny. I like that.
Those are my
recommendations. Only Murders in the Building and Silverado. And I'm going to put City Slickers on our list as well. Bill, did you have something more to add?
Well, yeah. It was with when the City Slickers are getting ready for the morning, and Jack Palance comes along, and they're scared stiff of him. And my favorite line is Billy Crystal says, "Have you killed anybody? Killed anybody yet?" What the hell was his name? Ben.
Curly.
And he says, "You killed anybody yet, Curly?" And he's today, Curly. And Palance just says, "Not yet." That was my favorite part.
I actually have flashbacks to City Slickers 2. Do you remember how that began?
I don't remember.
Billy Crystal goes jogging. Billy Crystal goes jogging with his cow.
Yeah, and then they end up going to Spain to run with the bulls.
Right.
Is that it? Like that.
I don't remember the plot of it. I just remember the beginning of it.
Well, or Billy Crystal starting the stampede with his coffee grinder.
Right. Really running with the bulls. Well, we are reaching the end of this hour-ish that we do every Tuesday for the San Carlos Computer Club. And a lot of you have stuck all the way to the end. What was it you were going to say, Bill?
Well, they didn't notify us at all. Like, we ran one set of numbers.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Scott, now that you're back on, you're much better. You're not delayed as much. I don't know if there's only six of us instead of nine. I don't know what it is, but it was getting frustrating because we would say things and then you would come in with something you said a long time ago. It was the time delay was really bad.
Yeah, I don't know what internet again. It's got to be internet again.
That's your favorite excuse.
Right.
All right. I'm going to go make lunch.
All right. I will talk to you guys later. Look for a new document. I will share some of the topics that we didn't get to today again in next week's meeting. And that'll go out in email and later. Oh, if you guys aren't aware. Oh, two things before we go. One, a COVID piece that I wanted to share with you guys that I forgot to share with you. My daughter is home for 2 weeks because of COVID. Not because she's got it, but because somebody at the school does. So Emily attended 4 days of school over a 2 week period, and now they're shut down for 2 weeks. That's how COVID.
Whole school shut down?
Well, she goes to the equivalent of high school, and yes, the whole school is shut down. So in Mexico, high school is like 3 years, junior high is like 3 years, high school is like 3 years. She's in her second year of high school. The whole school is shut down because of a third year student testing positive.
And the same thing happened with Alvin last year. The whole school was shut down. They went home for Christmas and everything. The day they went back, only his class was shut down 1 hour into the class, and he was home for 2 weeks. And then when they got back from that one, the whole school was closed down again. So it was, oh no, he had exposure on the bus, so only he went home from his class. So the class continued in person. He was told to do everything at home without any online instruction. It was his whole 9 years.
Fortunately, both the schools the kids are at have embraced a hybrid model. And so both of them are doing classes both online and in school.
Yeah.
And so it's because of last semester and because of this, it's just an easy transfer over to online classes. But it's really a sign of where we are right now as far as this thing goes.
Go ahead. We have as much COVID as here. Like, our cases are just going straight up right now. Our premier has, in his infinite wisdom, decided that there is no protocols in the school. All other public spaces have masks. There is no testing anymore unless you go in and get and ask for a test somewhere. And there is no contact tracing whatsoever.
No tracking.
In the schools, you're saying.
No tracking in the community.
Tracking in the community, no testing in the community.
In the province.
And no protocols in the school at all.
It's such an interesting approach to take to living with COVID, isn't it? It's just to ignore it.
It's just incredible.
Sweden did, kind of, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it seems like that's what we used to do before we had the ability to track it, is we just ignore it and stay away from sick people.
Well, yeah, stay home when you're sick kind of thing. And then herd immunity is supposed to do it. But somebody said, Paul, was it you? You stay home in your house where you are and you could stay home in San Carlos. The situation in San Carlos being in red, we should be categorized the same way with the number.
We would be red if we are in Mexico.
Yeah. And we've got surgeries are being postponed again. And it's just awful. The healthcare.
We're just little Texas.
Let's end this meeting on a lighter note. I had one other thing I just wanted to share with you guys because I'm proud of her. But Emily has helped me edit the last two blog entries for the Computer Club. She is going to be taking over some of the jobs that I do to keep everything up. We want to give her some real life experiences she can put on a resume as she gets older. And so she has been in charge of the last two blog posts, and we'll be doing more with WordPress, more with audio editing, and more with graphic editing, all based around the computer club. So she's going to be bringing her skills to what we're doing. So I'm
well,
very...
and if doesn't you don't pay her, it's child labor.
Doesn't she go as a caricature?
Wait, it's Bibiana that does the drawing.
That's right. I was going to say, I've got the wrong one.
Yeah, and actually, there are a couple of pieces of art that we've done for the computer club that Bibiana has done the artwork for.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm bringing my kids into the fold. It seemed to me like it was a good opportunity to give her some real life experiences. And so I've just wanted to toot her horn for a little bit with you guys. I'm just happy that she took to it just like that. So I'm immediately going to pile more stuff on her.
Good idea. It's funny. I think we've mentioned before that, you know, a couple of the entertainers that we've gone to in the last 10 years, they all bring their children out onto the stage and have them do a song, you know. Anne Murray did it. Rod Stewart did it. You know, it's just crazy.
Well, you, John did it.
Well, pretty soon you're going to be having a computer club meeting and she'll be sitting here. Dad had to go do something. He'll be right back.
Glad to have her along.
Okay. Yeah.
It's always good to see you guys. I can't wait till next Tuesday. I'm already anxious to have another meeting.
Okay.
You guys deck on. Oh. Adios.
Adios.
Well, that is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and I am the eternal host of this thing we call our club. We meet every Tuesday around 10 o'clock Mountain Central Time, Arizona Sonoran Time. They don't recognize daylight savings. And we broadcast this on YouTube as well as record it as a podcast and put it out as a blog post. So if you're interested in any of the stuff we're doing or being part of our meetings, just check us out at SCC Club on Twitter, sccclub.org on the internet, and our channel San Carlos Computer Club on YouTube as well as our Facebook page. Until next Tuesday, tech on.